On the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, verses 15 through 21. This comes at the end of the Joseph story, when Joseph's brothers come to ask for food, and then it slowly dawns on them that the one who stands before them is their brother whom they betrayed. He's now second in command, right underneath Pharaoh, in charge of the food distribution. And he gives them food, and the family comes to settle in the land of Egypt. And then after a while, Jacob, their father, dies. And then at that time, they begin to be a little bit fearful of what Joseph might do to them. And so this is how the story ends. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him? So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. And then finally, from Paul in his letter to the Romans from chapter 8, verse 28. Paul writes, "We know that in all things God works together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose." Do you remember the earliest Bible story you learned as a child? Well, we heard a lot of Bible stories, but one really sticks out for me. I truly remember the Joseph story. Now, why? I don't know. Maybe it had good pictures in there, and maybe that captured my imagination. You know, I was in a special reading class. Real special. I've mostly looked at pictures. But we were in this class one day. This was actually in school at George Watts Elementary School. And I remember looking at the picture of Joseph in his amazing multicolored coat and hearing the story. It just caught my attention. And that was a long time ago. You know, that story has reappeared in my life many, many, many times. Due to my amazement, I wound up doing my dissertation on the Joseph story at Emory University. Finished up in 94. It was about, 20-some years ago. The title of the dissertation was the Joseph Story, Genesis chapter 37 through 50, teaching a literary approach to Scripture. Now, you know, I put the book in the church library, and I put a $100 bill in the middle of the book, and that $100 bill is still there. I don't think anybody ever read my dissertation. But nevertheless, that was amazing that it kind of came back into my life at a later time, and I actually did a dissertation on it. But more important than the dissertation, vastly more important, is the lesson that I have learned. This series is all about lessons learned. I picked the 8 greatest lessons that I've learned about faith, and I'm sharing them with you. Now, they're not just my lessons. They're the lessons that we learn as the people of God. And so the lesson for this particular day is that God never wastes an experience when we give it to him. And the story, the Joseph story, is the prime example for this. And in my ministry, so often I'm able to comfort someone with this story and with this lesson that I've learned and I'm still learning, that no matter what we go through in life, the good and the bad, sometimes we wonder, why is it that I even have to go through this experience? Well, you know, whatever it is, whatever experience it is, if we give it to God, he can work in the midst of it to cause some greater good to come out of it. And as I said to the children, he doesn't cause the bad things. But God never wastes an experience. You give him your hurt, God never wastes a hurt. You give him your disappointment, God never, he never wastes a disappointment. You see, the whole key in this lesson is going to be learning to give him the experience you need to give him, and then trusting him to work in your life. Well, to fill you in a little bit on the Joseph story, I want you to imagine a 17-year-old kid. 17-year-old kid, he's kind of braggadocious. He's had this dream. Matter of fact, he had two dreams, and they were all about how one day his brothers would come to him and bow down because he was Joseph. Matter of fact, his mother and father one day would come and bow down to him because he was Joseph. Now, it wasn't such a good idea to go around telling these dreams, especially to his brothers, because they became jealous, and it made it even more, you might want to say, kind of a bad situation, in that his father already favored him and had given him this very special coat, and none of them had that coat. So one day, the dreamer, they called him, "Here comes the dreamer." And the brothers saw Joseph coming, and they attempted to get rid of him. They threw him in a pit, and then they decided, no, what we really need to do is sell him to these traders coming by. And then they told their father that he had died. They actually took his cloak and they put blood on it to show that he had been killed. And so, 17 years old. Do you know what he went through the next 13 years of his life? Here's what he went through. Being sold into slavery, being given to a fellow by the name of Potiphar, who was one of the commanders in the military for the Pharaoh. And Potiphar had him as his personal slave. And he worked in Potiphar's house. Potiphar had him to do all kinds of things. So he starts out, as a servant there in Egypt. Then one day he is falsely accused of a crime. Potiphar's wife accuses him of a sexual attack that he was not responsible for. He was totally innocent. But yet Potiphar trusted his wife and therefore had him put in prison. And so he goes from being a slave to now being in a foreign prison in a foreign country with no one around to vouch for him and no way to go back to court and have any kind of redress to this particular situation. And he's there and there was a little bit of hope at one time, and there were two people in this particular prison. There was a butcher, and there was a baker, and there was a butler. They both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams, and he said, "Whoa, your dream means in 3 days Pharaoh will ask for you to come out, and your life will be saved." And that happened to have been the butler, and sure enough, in 3 days that did happen. But he said, "Listen, when you get out, remember me that I'm here and speak on my behalf." Well, the butler got out and he forgot him. 17-year-old kid, sold into slavery, falsely accused, in prison, and the one man who could have spoken up for him forgot about him. That is quite an experience. But let me tell you something. So very, very important. Something happened during those 13 years that changed everything. Over time, Joseph learned how just simply to give this experience to the Lord. And when we give him our hurts, our disappointments, our failures, our sins, whatever it is that we need to give to him, God does two things. First of all, he does a work within us. He changes us. And then he does a work through us. We actually begin to have a calling and a ministry to others. And so what happened to Joseph was he went from this braggadocious 17-year-old who thought that others should bow down to him to learning how to be a servant, to serve others, even as a slave. He became humble. He became dependent upon God. Pain can teach you to become dependent upon God if you choose it. If you don't, you can just simply be bitter. But it seems that Joseph did not grow bitter, rather he grew wiser. because he learned to grow in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. He began to realize he had this great gift of interpreting dreams. He found favor in the eyes of God and favor in the eyes of those around him. Even in prison, he was recognized as a leader. And they looked to him as a leader within prison. God did a work within him from a braggadocious 17-year-old to a humble, obedient, wise servant of God. He also developed many skills in prison. He developed organizational skills. So all during that time, God did a work in him, and then God did a work through him, because at the age of 30, Pharaoh had a dream, and he didn't know what it meant. And then finally, guess who? Yep, the butler remembered. Oh, I remember this guy. He can interpret dreams. Bring him out of here. I want my dream interpreted. They brought him out, and then there he was, and the Pharaoh said, here's my dream. And he was a different person. He was wise. He could discern things by the Spirit of God. People can do that. He said, here's what your dream means, Mr. Pharaoh. He says, you know, you had this dream, and there's going to be 7 years of plenty in this land. I mean, man, I tell you what, the stock market will go crazy. Everybody will be cashing in. Everything's going to go great. Your crops are going to be great. It's going to be 7 years of feasting and growth, and happy times are here. He said, but it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, I believe you. And Pharaoh says, and I'm now going to appoint you to be second in command of Egypt. You will now only be subservient to me, Pharaoh. And I'm going to entrust you over the agriculture of this nation. What do you propose to do? Well, Joseph was a wise person. He said, let's begin to store away some of the excess. Don't waste it. Store away things. So when the 7 years of famine comes, we can bring out the food. And that's what they did. There he was. There he was, 30 years old. He's got a brand new job. The Lord certainly promoted him over time. They have 7 years of prosperity. They store their food. The famine comes, but the people in Egypt are fed. The other nations in the world begin to come, and they say, we ran out of food. The world is in a famine. We're dependent upon you. And so he sold the food to them. And then his own family, his brothers came. But they didn't recognize him. And his brothers are before him. And they're saying, you know, we're starving and we need food. And over a period of time, of course, in this particular story, Joseph begins to think, here are the ones who threw me in the pit and sold me into slavery. And now they've come to me. You know what? It was a different Joseph. It wasn't the Joseph that said, one day I'm going to be somebody and you're going to bow down to me, the braggadocious Joseph. It was the Joseph who realized that dream was God's dream over him, that one day he would be the instrument by which his family would be saved, that they would come and they would bow down to him and they would ask for food and he would have it to give it. That was a different Joseph. And he began to think about how God had worked during all that time, that God had not wasted this time he had gone through. God had not wasted his hurt. God had done something in him, and now God was going to do something through him. And so finally, he reveals his identity to his brothers, and he says, have no fear. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. And you need not fear me. I forgive you. Wow. Let me tell you, one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned is that God doesn't waste a hurt when we give it to him. God doesn't waste anything when we give it to him. Today we have communion. When we come to receive communion, I want you to think about what is the experience that you need to give to God. Maybe it's something you hadn't thought about in a long while. Well, now's the time to think about it. But you know, when we identify what it is and when we begin to give our experiences to God, we may not see it right away, but later on we can look back and we can see how God used it for a greater good, a greater purpose. You know, if you live long enough, you're either going to hurt others or be hurt. Lots of times it's both. What do you do with the hurts you've received in life? You can either hold on to them and be bitter, or you can give them to God and let Him do a work in you and then a work through you and become better. That's the choice we have. You know, it always amazes me. I think that I've been able to grow as a Christian most because of the people I've served in the churches. I have met people who have done that. And let me tell you, when you meet someone who has done that, it's a great witness. You know what I think about? So often we think we can't really be a witness to someone else because I'm not perfect. Let me tell you what, God doesn't want you to stand up and show everybody your strengths. He wants you to stand up and show them your weaknesses, because God chooses to work through the weak and foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and that it is in our weakness that God perfects His strength and He gets the glory. So often, I've seen it in lives of people. Someone who struggled with an addiction, but they gave that to God, winds up starting one of the greatest recovery groups for addicts in America, John Baker from Saddleback Church, where Rick Warren is. It's his ministry, Celebrate Recovery, now is one of the biggest recovery groups in America about everything. Someone else goes through an experience and they give it to God and God uses it, and then they become the one person who's able to give comfort to someone else who goes through it. One of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. With the comfort with which you have received, comfort others. God doesn't comfort us to make us comfortable. He comforts us to make us comforters. And God can work through us, and He can do a work through us. And I've seen people in the churches do that. And just yesterday, I was with a family. I'll be doing the service tomorrow at 2 o'clock for an elderly lady in our church. And as they told me the full story of her life, I thought to myself, that lady could have been bitter. Why wasn't she bitter? And then it dawned on me, that's the lesson. She gave those experiences to God, and God did a work in her, and God did a work through her. She wound up being able to be married for 57 years to a lovely husband. I did his service many years ago. Unfortunately, she had three children. One was a son who died. I did his funeral a couple of years ago. But all her children were wonderful. Three grandchildren and one great-grandchild. And they're all telling me about this person and how wonderful she was. I can't be around people like that and not be changed. I don't know about you. And that's why I need to be here. I need to be around people who are living it and doing it so I can learn how to do it as well. As we come now to this time of entry into communion, we're going to do something that I think we need to do. We're going to have a special prayer. There's two special people here today who are worshiping with us. They've been worshiping with us, but they're going to be moving away. While they were here, they found the church home, and they told me they have grown. They've grown in their understanding of the faith. But they're going to be leaving, and they're going to look for a church. And we hope that they'll come back and they'll be here with us and know that we're always their family. But for right now, they're going away, and we're going to have a special prayer for them. One is a grandmother, and the other is her grandchild. If Celeste and Jordan would come up here at this time, and all members of her family, if you'd come up here. We're going to pause right now, and we're going to have a special prayer for this family. This is the grandmother, and this is the granddaughter, and these other members of the family, and there are others who are not here with them today. Let us pray. Gracious God, it was Your purpose that brought each of us to this service today. And Lord, certainly it was Your purpose that brought these two special people to us, Celeste and Jordan. We pray that the time they have spent with us have been time that they've been able to learn about Your love for them and Your forgiveness of them and Your grace for them. And we would pray Your blessings over them as they would leave and go to another place, that they may indeed find a church home, find a loving community, and continue to grow in the faith. Lord, there's hard times that we go through, and we don't understand those hard times. There's hurts that we have that we don't understand. But we know that if we give them to You, they will not be wasted. We give You this family right now, Lord, and we pray Your blessings over them, and we rejoice and knowing that we are so closely connected that we'll always be together. In Jesus' name, bless Celeste and Jordan. Amen. You may return to your seats. As we come to communion, there's only two requirements for communion. First of all, to repent of your sins, and then to desire to walk in newness of life. God chooses to give us what He chooses to give us, but God will give us whatever it is we need in order to be more faithful to Him who's faithful to us. Let us have a prayer confession. Dear Lord, we confess to You that we have not always believed You. We have not always trusted You. So often we have wanted to be in control of our own lives, but we know that doesn't work. So we confess to You, Lord, that we have gone our own way. Today we come back to You and we say that we want You to be Lord of our life. We confess our sins and we ask for forgiveness and we thank You that You give it to us. And so now, Lord, as we have confessed our sins, help us to know that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves Your love for us. Oh, Lord God, You love us with a love that will never let us go. And so now pour out Your Spirit on us and these gifts of bread and juice. And make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church. All honor and glory is Yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. And so now, with the faith of the children of God and the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.